Now, as you know, we're sending a whole flock of people this week to UM Army. Today, not even this week, this very day. And what a blessing it is for us to know that we have folks here in this congregation who are not only willing but excited about being the hands and feet of Christ out in the world. This week, as I thought about our sermon topic, and really I started last week thinking about this, I could only come to this scripture right here, and we'll see why in a minute. But I have to tell you, Samantha told me this week that she talked to Joel Griffin. Joel is the camp director at Bandera this year, and he told her that Mason, First United Methodist Church in Mason, is sending more people to UM Army camp than any other church that will be represented in Bandera this week. You can say that's really awesome. We are not the biggest church that will be represented. We are only sending the biggest group, which tells me that we must have the biggest hearts here in this community. And I consider how blessed we are as a community, and how the heart of this community beats for Christ. But then over the course of this last week, as I read on Facebook after all of the things that happened in Dallas, and don't read Facebook unless you can help it. As I read that, I saw so many of my colleagues in ministry writing things like, I've got to change my sermon. What am I going to say? And I've got to change the scripture. And I've got to change, and I've got to change, and I've got to change. And all I could think of is, as I looked at our passage for today, the Holy Spirit must have been involved in choosing that passage, because it is so appropriate for where we are today. So many of us must have been thinking this past week that the events that happened, blood running in the streets of Dallas, Texas, really? That just doesn't happen here. But it did. It did happen. And so today we are still going to be looking at the kids and the adults who are going to be going to UM Army, grateful and thankful that even in the midst of chaos and havoc in some of our cities, that the Word of God stands firm. We should all memorize that last verse that I told you when I stood up here. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. We should all memorize that verse and say it every day this week, including those of you who will be, maybe especially those of you who will be working in Bandera. Now, I need to give you just a tiny bit of background on the verses 1 through 11 that we really didn't touch on today in that reading. But Paul, and I'm going to say Paul, as usual, there's a little bit of scholarly disagreement about whether Paul wrote this letter or not, but Paul is just as good a name as any. So we're going to say Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians. And in verses 1 through 11, he spends a lot of time talking about how we have been raised with Christ, and because of that, there are certain things that we should throw off. Take off, get rid of things like malice and greed and sexual immorality and filthy language and idolatry. I bet every one of you sitting here today is going, well, I didn't do any of that stuff. But within every one of us, there is that little seed. And Paul says we are to throw that off. And in place of those things, we should put on a new set of clothing. That's what verses 12 through 17 talk about. This new set of clothing is made up of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and, oh, patience. Patience. seems to be in pretty short supply in our society these years. But Paul tells us we should put those things into practice every single day, no matter what our circumstances are, because that is who we are at our core. So beginning with verse 12, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience." Five things. Now, we've been chosen, and that means that we are set apart. We are different from the world. And you know as well as I do that being chosen comes with responsibility. You know, when you're in school and a teacher says, "Oh, I need somebody to do some kind of thing," and she says, "Here, would you do that?" and you get chosen. At first you think, "Oh, she chose me." And then you realize, "Oh, wait, there's responsibility with that. I have to be able to do something that maybe all the rest of the class can't do. I've been set apart and pulled out of that class." Well, that's how we are as Christians, set apart and pulled out of the world to do things that maybe the world doesn't know how to do. There's a book called Reclaiming God's Original Intent for the Church. I commend you, this book to you. It was written by Wes Roberts and Glenn Marshall. This is what they say about being chosen or being set apart. "The church is the people of God called out from the world. Being called has the connotation of being different, being other from the rest of the world." Now, personally, I would say that anybody who's willing to go to another town and work all week in the heat in other people's houses and in their yards is someone who is truly set apart from the world. The world doesn't place a lot of value on that kind of work. But Paul says we clothe ourselves, we wear humility and compassion and gentleness and kindness and patience, just like it's our clothing, not like a costume that you take off when you get home. We wear it all the time. It's more like skin than it is clothing. Now, verse 13 says to bear with each other and forgive each other as God has forgiven us. Personally, I think a loose translation of bear with each other is give each other a little slack. That seems to be missing in today's culture as well. We're very, very quick to point out what everyone else is doing wrong. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. If you hadn't done this, that wouldn't have happened. We hear that all the time. And yet, as those who are called out, we are called to give each other a little slack. And it means way more than just holding our tongues and smiling sweetly. It means way more than biting your lip and being engaged in warfare with them in your mind. Being a person who bears with someone else, it comes to us because we are who God created us to be. People who follow Jesus Christ and who have been called out. Now, verse 14 kind of wraps this whole clothing thing up, and it says, cover it all in love. Basically, all of that humility and passion and kindness and gentleness and all of those things are to be wrapped up in love. Now, that takes us to verse 15. I want you to listen to that verse again, because it's really important. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's with an S. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We're called to peace. Did you know that? Conflict is our natural state. But we're called to peace by God. And then three little words. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because as one body, we are called to peace. Now, frankly, to me, it's kind of hard sometimes to tell that God's people are called to peace. It's kind of hard to tell the difference between us and the world, as it were. But Roberts and Marshall, again, from that book, Claiming God's Intent for the Church. Personal holiness leads to corporate holiness. Our nature as the church is inseparably connected to our mission as the church. Our witness to the world flows from who we are as God's chosen people, that is, people belonging to God. In other words, we are called to peace, to let Christ rule us, rather than our circumstances, or rather than even the world. And it means so much more than just being polite or just trying to get along so that you won't stand out in the crowd. The peace of Christ cannot be found in rules and laws. Do y'all know how many laws we have? No, nobody does, because there's so many bazillion of them. Laws cannot create peace. We do that with our hearts, with the way that we react and relate to each other. And we are thankful in all circumstances. That first part that says, called out and dearly loved. Be thankful that you are dearly loved by God. Now, this is all leading up to something. Verse 16 talks about the way we worship. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with, there it is again, gratitude in your heart to God. Our kids, our grown-ups who are going to UM Army this week will have worship three times every day, whether they need it or not. You're going to start out at approximately 7:15 sitting in a pew. Now, for those of you who believe that teenagers cannot get up and be ready at 7:15 to worship, you are sadly mistaken. They can and they will. I mean it. I happen to know. Even the adults who like to slug a bed, you're going to be up at 7:15 worshiping. Okay. And then at lunchtime, they fix their own lunches. Did y'all know that? You're thinking, they don't do this at home. I know they don't do it at home. They do it at UM Army, though. And so at lunchtime, then part of what they do is, at lunch, they break, of course, to eat. And they have a lunchtime devotional that they all sit together, usually under a tree where there's a little bit of shade. They invite their client to take part in that devotional worship time. That's at lunch. And then at night, late at night, after a big long day of working and playing and doing all the things that you do, the last thing they do before they go to bed is worship again. And it doesn't look like what we're doing here. Just saying. But it's worship all the same, because the focus is on God, and that's what our worship is about. Our worship has nothing to do with what we like. Our worship has nothing to do with what we usually do. It has to do with connecting with God and with being one with God and, oh, being thankful. Now, that last verse, verse 17, it just wraps it all up. Here it is. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. None of those things, humility, compassion, gentleness, patience, or kindness, have any meaning. Even the best worship experience you could ever come across has no meaning unless you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. None of it matters unless you are focused on Jesus. Now, our society seems to be at a crossroads right now in ways that most of us couldn't have even imagined 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe even 5. Those of us who are over 40, that's most of us in this room, have memories of what it was like to grow up that our people, our kids that we're sending to UM Army, they hear that and they think it's a movie. What do you mean you lived in the middle of Houston and you could ride your bike anywhere you wanted to go? And you didn't have to be home until dark. And your mom wasn't calling you on the cell phone all the time saying, where are you, where are you, where are you? They don't have that experience. And so we're sending kids who have a totally different experience than those of us over 40 out into a world that's hostile quite often. And they go in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be really hot this week. And all kinds of people, I'm talking straight to y'all now, there are going to be all kinds of people at this camp. It's not just y'all. There'll be people from, I don't know who all's going. Fredericksburg, who else, Deandra? A big mixture of people. Gonzalez, okay, so a big mixture is going to be in this camp. And some of them are going to get on your last nerve. Whatever you do. Whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And those of us who stay home this week, we're going to look at the TV and we are going to see horrible stuff. There's probably going to be more murder and killing. And we're going to be tempted to say, if so-and-so didn't do this or if so-and-so would do that, then this wouldn't happen. Just remember, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. At UM Army, y'all, you're gonna be at somebody's house and you're gonna think, golly, they're just ungrateful. They don't even act like they appreciate what we're doing. We're out here sweating and they're just sitting in there watching TV and, well, they ought to be out here helping us. That could happen. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And while we're at home looking at that crazy news again or seeing whatever's going on wherever we are, we're going to be tempted to say, this isn't right. Somebody should do something. Whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly sitting still and just waiting around is not going to ever affect change. Isn't that right? So when you're at a work site that's particularly difficult or there's somebody that's in the same room with you where you're right next to you where your mattress is, your air mattress, and they're really bothering you, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. These t-shirts that I talked about earlier, you're going to get one this afternoon. And they're going to get you there and they're going to take a picture of the whole group. And then they're going to take pictures of every single person, all the kids, all the adults, everybody in camp. And all during the week, they're going to be writing little notes to each other, encouraging each other, reminding each other that they are there in the name of Jesus Christ, saying, thank you for the ways that you have touched my life this week. And if this camp is like every other UM Army camp, I'm going to say that on Saturday, you're going to be so in love with each other, you won't even want to come home. You'll be saying, let's go out there and sweat some more. That was fun. Only God can make that kind of stuff happen. So this week, we have some choices. This week, we have to decide what we're going to do. Because, see, congregation, we are not going to be having a cool t-shirt to remind us every morning and every night. to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to just remember that. We're going to have to remember who we are, but you know, we've had a lot longer to remember than our kiddos have. And so this week we're going to have a couple of choices. Are we going to choose Christ? Are we going to choose what the culture tells us to do? Are we going to stand firm in the Word? Or are we going to give in to the voices that tell us to blend in and give up? Are we going to speak and act as the chosen people of God, or will we take our cues from the culture that not only gives us permission to speak and act as though we are friends with the devil, the culture actually encourages us to speak and act in those ways. We are chosen and holy and loved by God. May we accept the truth of that. May we be grateful that God loves us. And may we remember that whatever you do, in word or in deed, to do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.